Could you provide me some background information on the Dark Epic, like how the tracks came together this time around?
Yeah, I'll try. there are 9 tracks on the album. Unfortunately, I have only written like 1 song of these 9 tracks, and the other 8 songs have been written by the new guy Jonas Blom. And but of course, it all has been developed in the rehearsal room as well. In the five of us, of course. But it's better to tell you the whole story about the album instead, I think, what we aim for, and that's basically about doing more longer songs with more riffing, and because we are all, big fans of, old Metallica stuff, like the Justice for All stuff, as well as the Master of Puppets stuff, when you have, these 7-minute long songs, and we kind of wanted to go away from the typical 4-minute tracks that we had on the previous albums, trying to do something new, more or less melodic and more brutal stuff, like right in your face, with more aggression, and as well as me being more aggressive on the vocals as well, and that's basically what our goals were.
Okay, why did Michael then quit the band in April 2009?
Well, it was basically because when I first started out in 2004 and I created the first demo, When Hatred Comes to Life, all on my own, with a little help of Valle from Impious. It was like only me being in the band. I was trying to do like a solo band, and when Valle knew about this lead guitarist that played a lot of Metallica stuff, I immediately contacted him about it, and he was kind of interested in doing the solos on the demo. And when everything turned out to be so very good, I immediately asked him to join, and he was interested, and all of a sudden there was a lot of touring and stuff like that. But I mean, Michael is a great guy, probably the best guitar player we've ever had in the band, and but he was never 100% into death metal. He's more like a softer, more soft metal guy, and that kind of showed up during in the end here, when he kind of showed us that he wasn't quite into it anymore, and that's when it's better to just leave and get a new guy that's more focused on what we're doing. And and Michael also did the more melodic stuff, which was quite good, combined with my type of music, and it was a good combination. But the melodic stuff was something we wanted to go away from on this new album, and just focus on the more dark stuff with more, in your face aggression, no bullshit,
Could you talk me through the audition process in terms of finding a new guitarist and eventually recruiting Jonas?
Oh, we kind of only tried out 2 guys for this session. We had a couple of guys in mind, like 5 or 6 guys, I think. The first guy we tried out was a guy that he was very good, and he was a big fan of One Man Army, but unfortunately he didn't have that songwriting skill that we were looking for, because when Michael left, 50% of the songwriting left as well, he was a good choice, I think, but we decided to leave him out of this. And the next guy we tried out was Jonas, and this was a guy that Robert, the bass player, kind of knew about, because they were living in the same hometown, and he had played in a lot of bands, and everybody knew him from that town to be a very good and dedicated guitar player, and he's a multi-instrumentalist as well. He plays drums in the band called Trident, if you know it. So he can play a lot of instruments, and that's a good thing when you're writing songs, of course. But we kind of immediately knew that after one or two tries with this guy, we kind of, you know, asked him that you seem to be a very good guy, and we really like you, and want to join us, then feel very welcome. And he didn't hesitate that much, so we took a couple of beers, you know, and talked it over, and now it's been like 1.5 years, I think, so I'm live.
Which track is the one you wrote on the album?
I wrote Inside the Head of God, and this was a track that I had already before Jonas, and I actually recorded the demo back in Michael's house like 1 or 2 months before he left the band. I recorded this because I always went to Michael when I did the demos of my songs. So this song has been around for like 2 years now, and of course I've changed it a lot to the final version, but I'm quite happy with it.
Okay, do you feel the fact that Jonas came in the band and on the new record there's like eight of his songs, that shows more of a democracy within the band? Because it's not, that's quite unusual really for a new member to come on board and to be given that much freedom to contribute that much on a songwriting level, I would say.
Yeah, I'm quite shocked myself, because the guy seems to, you know, he comes up with new music every day, you know, and when he joined, everybody knew that he was, you know, writing a lot of songs, but he was like spitting them out. So, and he spit out, you know, very, very good music, and we were like, had to, you know, cut 5 songs away from the process, because everything went too fast, you know. And we kind of chose 9 of the best songs we had out of, you know, 14 or 15 songs. But I mean, I'm no dictator. I don't have a big ego. Like, you can't come into this band and think you can run everything your way. You know, I don't have that ego. So I had like 1 song, and he put 8 of the other songs on the album. And in the end, it's all about, you know, making the best possible One Man Army album. So. And everybody is 100% democracy in the band, and everybody has opinions when it comes to riffing, melodies and stuff. You know, everybody comes up with ideas, of course, and in the end, he came up with the best solution for the album, so it was a very fresh and welcomed situation for us.
Okay, will any of these leftover songs be recorded or not, or...?
Maybe, yeah, I think so. We had like kind of a sequel to the instrumental song Dark Epic, which he wrote almost at the same time. It's a good song, it's like 10 or 11 minutes long, and but this time we will probably use lyrics on the whole song. We have that song, and we also have another song that we kind of rehearsed a full version of, but in the end we kind of felt that wasn't a fitting concept of this album, so but yeah, we might have like 2 or 3 songs left we can use in the later on, but who knows, it might take like 2 years for the next album to show up, so everything can happen, you know.
You mentioned the epic nature of the songs. Are there any other comparisons you can make besides the And Justice for All one, like in terms of these long songs?
I mean, as I said, you know, my voice is pretty more aggressive than it has been for the last couple of 2 albums or something. I have put back, I brought back, you know, the old Johan that it could be heard from, you know, the Crown stuff when I had the more screamier style. Well, at least in my opinion, I brought it back a bit anyway, because on Grim Tales it was more like more deep kind of growling compared to the to the more screamer style which I am now, and of course everything, when everything comes together, you can really hear the progress. It has, you know, improved with my voice combined with the more epic music, you know. So everything fits, I think, you know. It wouldn't have fit with me doing, you know, the grim tales growling. Everything, you know, makes sense.
Do you prefer the more screaming type vocals or the more growling type?
I mean, for me personally, I need to have like a combination of both, I think. And the more deeper growling is more nice for my throat compared with the screamier stuff, because to keep on screaming 1 hour, 1 hour and a half or something, it really, you know, wears out your throat, you know. And but I need to have a combination, and I really like when a vocalist, you know, can put the voice where the music is, if you know what I mean, and not doing the like one line during the whole song. It needs to be very flexible.
Are there certain things you do to make sure your voice holds up then for like live performances and so on?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I've been doing this for like 21 years now, and I mean, do 3 weeks on the road or something, was out even the best vocalist, of course. And doing like a tour in mid winter time or something, it's pretty hard for a vocalist, of course. But I try to maintain it as good as I can. But it's really hard, you know. And being older and stuff like that, it's harder all the time. And now we haven't been rehearsing since we did the album, which was in October, I think. So we will start rehearsing now for some May appearances, I think. And when we're not doing this for like 3 or 4 months, really, it feels very fucked up to start screaming again when you haven't been singing for like half a year or something. But it's those things you need to be aware of.
Yeah. You mentioned the Crown. Just one question more. Like, as you know, they've reformed with a new singer. What are your thoughts on that? Well, yeah, obviously you know that. You've probably been asked that by everyone now. But what are your thoughts on that then?
I'm very happy for them. I'm still friends with the guys. And I also met Jonas Stålhammar, the new singer, when they played in my hometown at Trollhättan. So really good and nice guy. And he sings very good. And they're quite happy. And I'm happy for them, of course. And and Marco also asked me to join the band, of course, in the beginning to make a real reunion. But and I was like listening to the whole album, instrumental versions of the songs, and I had like a day to make up my mind or something. But in the end, it was all about, you know, me trying to promote Grim Tales, because this was like 2 years ago or something when they first approached me. I'm getting older, and I don't have time for two bands, actually. You can combine, of course, and make like half a year I do this and half a year I do this. But in the end, I wasn't, you know, I want to be honest with both myself and the band. So I decided to not do it. I had like 13 very nice years with the Crown. They wanted to quit, and I start one in army from scratch. So that's my baby, and that's what I want to do. And who knows in the future? I mean, if Jonas Stålhammar is getting sick or something, maybe I can go up on stage and do some Death Explosion as well. So,
are you happy then with them sort of like all using the name The Crown then without you being involved or not?
Yeah, I mean, Marco and the other guys, they tried to do like the whole thing with a different band name. First they started out with Doberman,
yeah,
and then they had like 10 other names they were deciding on, and I was like confronting Marco, why do other names? Why not do the Crown, you know? That's the name you should use, because that's the name you will gain more access within the business with, and yeah, business is, it's all about business in the end, because you want to put out your record, right? And that's the best solution for it, to name it down, and I have no bad feelings about it whatsoever, so.
Do you feel that then you could, if you wanted to, or you had the time to at least, you could make a good record with them then, or do you feel you're too far removed from them because of like how long you've been doing One Man Army and so on?
I mean, I would definitely would be able to do an album with the Crown, of course, but it. It's not a question of me wanting to do it now or whatsoever, because they are happy with the situation right now, and I've had the chance to say yes, but I didn't, so
yeah,
they're doing their stuff now, so but in the future, who knows? I mean, if I can do like some session stuff on the future album or something, it would be cool, you know, because as I said, I'm still friends with the guys, and So there's no hard feelings at all. So I'm very proud of the Crown. I still am. It's a really good band.
Yeah. Let's talk some more about this new One Man Army record. What can you reveal about it, about the lyrics? Because like I know like a darker atmosphere has been like mentioned in terms of like the music and the lyrics. What sort of topics you dealing with on this record?
I tried to make a lot of, you know, fantasy with the real stuff out in the world, actually, and there's a couple of war stories on this new album, as well as some, you know, black magic stuff, and also I have my own version of the Jeffrey Dahmer incident, and so it's like a very, it's like a combination that, of course, in the end puts the word death in the middle. So that's also when it comes to the cover art, it fits, you know. And Stitch, for example, it's the first song on the album. It's a war song. It's about, you know, being in the middle of the war and standing in your in your ditch, you know, and in a bunker somewhere, and getting bullets from everywhere, and you're getting really, you know, fucked up mentally, and that's, you know, of course, I haven't been into war, so I don't really know, but I can imagine, you know, people getting fucked up, and that's what, you know, the irony of the word stitch, because you cannot stitch together the mental wounds, you know, that occurs when being in battle, of course. So it's a lot of stuff like that. It's a good mixture, I think. It's my earlier work had a lot of, you know, I put out some, you know, black humor into the whole mess, but now it's more serious approach, and definitely word-wise, it's more aggressive than before, and there's no, you know, there's this total killings.
Okay, and what about the track you've made a music video for, Skeletons of Rose Hall?
Yeah, it's about an incident that happened in the 100 years ago, almost 200 years ago in South USA, and it's about a girl called Annie married a guy called I think it was John Palmer or something. And he was like the owner of a plantation, and he had like 2,000 slaves there or something. And she she learned black magic from an old type of a voodoo queen or something, and she killed like every husband she had, and she performed like torture and stuff like that on the slaves, and she used, you know, black magic on them as well. This is a story that is well known when you're searching for it, but my own version of it, of course, I've you know, bend up the story a bit to fit my kind of a view on things, but I think it's a cool, very cool, and both musically and lyrically, it's a very cool combination, and which I'm very proud of. And the video is kind of basic, but it has some cool moments, and we will probably launch it in like 1 week or something. So keep your eyes open.
Okay. Is there anything? Is it just a performance video, or is there some other stuff in there?
And it's a performance video combined with some storytelling. And you get, you know, the girl Annie Palmer as well as me, you know. But it's like a different. The story of the lyrics isn't quite showing in this video. It's the director's own interpretation of what he thinks. So it's like me running around being like a psycho and with a chainsaw, you know, cutting people open, and Annie Palmer risen from the dead, you know, performing voodoo on me with a doll, you know. So I'm kind of being moved by she is like what do you say she's like controlling me. It's pretty cool, and it's pretty bloody.
Okay, is it because of that song then that they, on the artwork there's like a slave's head on a stick in the background?
Well, you can say that, but it hasn't been an obvious thing for us. But the viewer can always, you know, interpret the cover art or something in their own personal way, of course, and that's the good thing with these type of covers. I mean, what is the dark epic? It's up to you to decide. For me, it's all about death, you know. Death is very epic. Death is everywhere, you know. Everybody can make their own, you know, judgment when they.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. How would you compare this artwork then to the previous artworks the band have had?
I think the new one probably fits my own personal view much better than the previous stuff. Because, the previous stuff was all in my, it was all my ideas, but in the end, when I look back at it, it's like more, doesn't fit me as a person. It's more like a Manowar meets Conan, you know. It's for like a power metal band. For this new album, we needed something that was much more, you know, more death metal and in your face, you know, and not a man with big muscles and like these. It was like pure death metal now. You have the Grim Reaper. That says it all, you know.
Have we seen the end then of General Grimm appearing on the records in on the artwork?
Well, I wouldn't say that we have seen the end of it, but he will definitely rest a couple of years, I think, and maybe on the next album or the one after that, I don't know, but from now on it feels very good to have him put on the side, because musically, I think you can still hear the typical Woman Romy sound on this album, but it's fresh new sound, and it feels like a new fresh start for us as well. So that means we need to take new grounds, new chapters. So we need to put something aside to make new steps.
How did Killustrations come on board then? The people, well, Bjorn, who from them who did the artwork.
We have been in contact with him for a couple of years, and he has been doing a lot of good merchandise for us, and already on the Grim Tales album, whole thing, cover art and everything, you know. But for some strange reason, we decided to use another guy that draws General Grimm and stuff like that more better, because Björn from Killustration works with other stuff. So, but now on this new album, we decided to let's ditch the old things and just make new fresh start here. And Björn is very dedicated into doing a cool thing out of this. So why not contact him and make the whole thing with him? And he was very positive into it. So. We will definitely use him even in the future, and also in the booklet he has done a tremendous job, you know.
What are the current plans of One Man Army?
Well, we will start rehearsing soon, I think, for some... we don't have anything booked yet, but we do might have some appearances in May on festivals. Which I can't say yet, but then probably we have some festivals in the summer. That would be a really cool thing and a good promotion for us, and probably and hopefully we will do a tour in the fall, but who knows. We need to see how people react when they hear the album as well. So that's what everything is about, you know. Is nobody buys the album, then it's then no label will put you out on the road, you know. So
yeah,
but I have positive vibes on this. So.